Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for all things human. And as has been our shift in agenda, we always play a lecture of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and we will continue to do so this morning. This will be an additional portion of what was begun last week from a series of ta'alim, Sunday ta'alim lectures that the Imam conducted in October 1981 in Oakland, California. Today we have a very special additional part of this morning's broadcast, and I've entitled it a special history lesson because there's a lot of history in the community that we're going to be talking about. And it is also in support of an upcoming fundraiser for the Al-Islam, the Al-Islam Islamic Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to be joined, inshallah, by Sister Fonda Muhammad and Imam Oliver Muhammad of the Al-Islam Islamic Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. Alhamdulillah, we're going to get into a lot of things. So, unlike the normal Wednesdays, we're going to continue with our discussion, interaction, and information for you about this upcoming fundraiser and other points of a very, special history that's taking place down there in North Carolina. So, here's the continuation of Imam Muhammad's Sunday Ta'alim from 1981 in Oakland. And then immediately following that, we'll be joined by our guests, inshallah. Thank you for being here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So he ordered the hands be cut. Now, most Americans are aware that Muslims cut off the hands of the thief. And they are aware of that law because the Crusade survivors from the other side want to keep non-Muslim societies feeling that the Muslim society is so fanatical that they have to be watched and contained. Never let them have their freedom to practice their religion because they are fanatics of the worst type. They want to keep other societies believing that of us. So they spread rumors and blow things up out of proportion and put them in the wrong picture to achieve their selfish, hateful aim. Now, let me continue to read. Omar said, pardon me, yes. When Omar questioned the young men, they admitted the theft, so he ordered their hands to be cut. But on second thought, he said, by Allah, that is, O God, by God, I would cut their hands if I did not know that you employ these young men and starve them so that they would be permitted to eat that which is prohibited from prohibited them. So he then, on second thought, he turned his attack toward the accuser. And he said, I would cut these thieves' hands, but you give them starvation wages. And the pressure that you put on them, pressure them into doing what is unlawful. So let's continue. Now, yeah, I'm happy to read this. You know I've been teaching you this for 6 years, 7 years, and never knew that the Muslim had said it in the book. But I live by the spirit of the Quran, and I know the spirit of the Quran is against any fanatical or cruelty, fanaticism or cruelty. No, both fanaticism and cruelty is condemned in the Quran. Yes. He says, then he addressed their employer, saying, by Allah, since I have not cut their hands, I am going to penalize you with a fine that shall pain you. He turned his rage from the thieves to their employer, who was giving them starvation wages and forcing them to do unlawful things because of their situation. He turned his rage toward the employer, and then he penalized the employer by charging them twice the price of the camel that he wanted them to be punished for stealing. Yeah. How do you like that? Isn't that the kind of law we need in this society? Would you want to be something other than a Muslim? Whoever does only makes himself a... Say it loud. Be Muslim and proud. Say it loud. Only makes himself a fool. That's right. And that's in the Quran, isn't it? He who forsakes the religion of Abraham that Prophet Muhammad had established only makes himself a fool. I agree with that. I have lived to see that myself. Now, let me skip a few lines here dealing with that. That's plain enough. And get here a little bit further. Now, secondly, the punishments provided by the law, that is the law of Islam, are applicable only when and where a proper Islamic state exists. They are applicable. That means those laws are to be carried out only when and where a proper Islamic state exists. Now, this is not your uneducated imam talking. This is scholar in this religion talking. All right? So those who would question what I say, oh, where did he attend school? Did he go to Azhar? No, I didn't go to Azhar. Did he attend college? No, I didn't. So we don't have to accept what he says. Well, please accept what this scholar says. He went to those colleges and universities. All right? Now, so you can have your polygamy when and where a proper Islamic state exists. That's where you can have your polygamy. Don't tell me what the Muslims are doing in Hubutupu. I don't want to hear it. I'm not talking about the Muslims in Hubutupu. Some Muslims in Hubutupu commit adultery and call it marriage. Certainly they do. They say, oh, you're visiting this country? Yes. How long are you going to be here? 2 weeks. Oh, let's arrange a marriage. You're away from your wife. The duty of a Muslim to get a wife, get the woman, get the wife for his brother. Let's arrange a marriage. And they have a name for it. You marry this woman just for the time you're there. When you leave, the marriage is finished. You're going back home to your wife. So that's their creation. That's not this religion. Knowing that these people that we use for models of authority fail in so many areas when it comes to uprightness, how can you of this community go out and bring me in somebody from the outside as a model of authority? Who stopped drinking? Who stopped gambling? Who punished fornicators and adulterers? Who brought offenses before the imam, before the minister? Who tried to clean people up? Was it them over there or us over here? That's our history. We have a history for trying to clean people up and make them fit in this religion. We have a history of that. Then how are you going to go out there and get somebody else? Well, I don't care what Imam Wise and Dean say, brother. He's not Allah. He's not the prophet. He's not my teacher. In this religion, we all follow Prophet Muhammad, brother. And the Imam from Hoopatubu said this is all right. He didn't say, and the prophet said this is all right. He said, and the Imam from Hoopatubu said this is all right. So actually, he's following not the prophet, but the Imam from Hoopatubu. And really, he's following himself. It just so happened that the Imam from Hoopatubu goes along with something that he wants. And that's why he doesn't want to follow Imam Wahid al-Din Muhammad, because the Imam Wahid al-Din Muhammad won't go along with the thing that he wants. So he finds him an Imam outside of our community from Hoopatubu, because he lets him do his thing. Terrible. Let's see how our time is going. Time is running out here. Here. All right, we'll go for a few more minutes. Now, in the surah called An-Nahla, we read these words and understand that Muslims receive the words of the Quran as the direct words of the Almighty who created everything. We have to know that, accept that, in that awareness, and that sin. Muslims, real Muslims that is, they don't live in a dream religion. They live in a real religion. And when we say God said, we mean just that. We are not speaking a language that is empty, We're speaking a language that is true. A language that is true. Not a language to impress. A language that is true. That's why whenever a Muslim recites from the Quran, when he has finished, he should say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim. God the Mightiest spoke the truth. Because it's not what we say, it's not what Prophet Muhammad says, it's what the Quran is, what Allah, the creator of everything, what he said. And I wish you could understand that with your good senses. As well as with your heart. Allah the Most High says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And Allah brings you out from the womb of your mother. From the womb of your mother. And again, Allah the Most High says, and he formed you in the womb of your mother. Shouldn't we have faith then in the same Lord that has created us, has given us our form, our nature, that he also can guide us best? You see? Now, it goes on to say, have you not observed the birds? Have you not given your attention to the birds suspended in the atmosphere of the sky? And there seems to be nothing holding it up, or nothing holds it up except Allah. Now, you know, many of us in the city, we never get an opportunity to give much attention to things happening in the natural environment, you know. But I have been out of the city, in the city too. But I really noticed it once when I was out of the city. I was on a trip out of the country, in fact. And I noticed these birds, how they were just riding the air. And it wasn't windy, but they had their wings out like this, and their wings seemed to be motionless. And they were just gliding on the air. Seemed to be motionless. And I don't know whether it really happened or not, but I saw one look like, to me, he started going backwards. You know, it could have been my mind playing tricks on me. But he still looked like he was going backwards. And maybe the wind motion was taking him backwards, you know. I don't know what it was, but it seemed like he was going backwards. And he was just up there making no effort at all. Suspended up there like that. Now, God calls our attention to this, and he says, Allah says, surely in that is a sign to a people who have faith. Didn't say to any people, to people who have faith. It's a sign to a people who have faith. It didn't say to a people who have brains. Yes, to a people who have faith. So the one who has the intellectual mind, he'll read this, and he will approach it from an intellectual interest, right? And he will look at that, and he'll try to get to understand that. Can you see when you're not looking in the right direction? How can you see the thing when you ain't even looking in that direction? So he will look, you see, and he will say, oh, yes, that's true. Allah, only Allah is holding him up. Say, brother, Allah created the air. Allah is holding him up with his air. Because he's looking at it from the intellectual point of view, or from the scientific point of view, right?
But this is not for him. It says, for a people who have faith. It's talking to the faithful believer. The faithful believer. He knows what connection to make here. He knows what connection to make. The science, the scientist, he makes a scientific connection. The fool, he makes no connection. He just says, oh, that ain't nothing. My kites stay up there too. He makes no connection. The scientist, he makes a connection. He connects that phenomena with the creator who created the phenomena, or that made the possibilities for the phenomena. And the faithful man, he relates that to faith. When that bird is like that, he is still. Right? You heard a preacher say, be still. I heard a preacher say that. Preacher was rapping over the radio man and he just stopped. He said, be still. Concentrate. Concentrate. Like that bird up there stressed out. He got his wings stretched out, straight, tense, but still ain't moving a bit. He's still laying as still as he possibly can. Ain't doing nothing on his own, but holding himself in check. Right? And he finds he got support. Other birds, right along up there with him, he's battling like mad. And that one, he just... Yeah. Faith. And he's in a dangerous situation. He's up there where creatures are battling to keep him falling. And he ain't struggling. He just stressed out. Yes. Once you have developed dependency on Allah over a long period of time, day after day, year after year, you get to a point where you can be in dangerous situations and show no uneasiness, no excitement. You just are calm and tranquil while others are all upset. And you so cool. What's sustaining you while others are falling? While others are battling and tearing out their hair, biting their fingernails. What's sustaining you? How come you're so cool? All right. Yeah. Can't you see that the heavens have been raised without pillars? Hey, do you see anything holding them up? Faith. That's right. Faith. Get in accord with the scheme of Allah. And you will be sustained without a lot of difficulty. Oh, yes. But if you are going against the grain of Allah's scheme, you can expect difficulty. In our little small brain, no matter how big, they're not good enough to give us peace, to sustain us in a troubled world. The PhD is in the nut house too. I know it because I saw him there. When I was visiting someone else, he told me he was a doctor. And he was in the nut house too. Ain't no security for people except in faith. You have to depend on something bigger than your PhD. Depend on Allah, who created you and everything and made all possible. That's the answer. Doesn't mean a foolish faith. That bird doesn't close his wings. He ain't crazy. You ain't never seen one up there at attention with his arms folded. Unless he would make a dive. What do you call it? Dive up? A nose dive. That's right. Some of those buzzards, I think a buzzard. The buzzard, he hover up there until he sees what he wants. A hawk. Hawk. Hovers up there until he sees what he wants. Then sometimes if he knows he has to hit it quick before it get out of the way, he takes a nose dive. He closes his wings. Close them. He comes straight down like a bum. And he opens them up just in time, though. There are two attributes that go together because they are related. In fact, all attributes are related some way, but these are closely related. That's the attribute of gratitude and the attribute of trust, faith. You find me a person that is not thankful, and I'll find you a person that has no faith. Don't tell me that you know a great believer and he's not thankful. If he's a great believer, he should be grateful. Belief and gratitude go together. If he's going across town and you see him and you stop and pick him up in your car and you take him and you drop him off at his location where he was going and he gets out and says, Assalamu alaikum. And that's it. Watch out. Start checking him out. Maybe that was a slip. Maybe he was under pressure that time. But you start watching him. If he's not thankful for the things that people are doing for him, he's not grateful to Allah. He's just a lie. Nobody can convince me they appreciate Allah and they don't appreciate their fellow men. I can't believe it. Never will believe it. If a person do you a good deed, you're supposed to be grateful.
But brother, we say Alhamdulillah, brother. We don't spray flatter man. We don't flatter man.
The man has to be respected too. You have to respect your brothers and sisters too. In fact, the only proof that you respect Allah is your respect for your brothers and sisters and the other things that he has created. That's right. We should be grateful to Allah, and that gratitude should be seen in the society, in our thanks, in our expressions of appreciation for the things that are coming to us from our brothers and sisters, or because of our brothers and sisters. The most beloved in the Muslim brotherhood is who? The Prophet himself. Is that right? Yes. You know the religion. The most beloved is the prophet himself. If my child or my wife or somebody else is more beloved to me than my leader, my prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, then my faith is not right. My faith is not right. But isn't it an obligation on me that I love also my brothers and sisters? Certainly. I have to love my brothers and sisters. And I have to appreciate my brothers and sisters. They do a good deed, I'm to show appreciation. Alhamdulillah means all praise is for Allah. Alhamdu wa shukru lillah. The praise and the gratitude or the thanks is for Allah. Certainly, that is true. But you must also feel the appreciation in your heart for the good that's done by you from anybody. Because that's Allah. That's how Allah is helping you. He's helping you through people. And the people that have given themselves to good behavior are people that deserve some respect too for their own effort, for their own good. If we don't appreciate the good person, then what encouragement is there for the good person? We're going to treat the good person like the bad person? This is against our religion. We can't treat good people and bad people the same. The person who does nothing, you just say him, Assalamu alaikum, and you go. Here's a brother or sister that's done a lot of good for you and others, and you just say to them, Assalamu alaikum, and go. No, say Assalamu alaikum. We certainly appreciate you in the community. You're doing a wonderful job. Pay kind tributes to your brothers and sisters. Words of encouragement, words of courtesy, words of appreciation. Express these to your brothers and sisters. And then you will see a healthy community. This world is sick because they don't want anybody to get any credit except themselves. They don't want to see anybody credit with credit other than themselves. So it's a sick world. They see you with a new pair of shoes on and want to cut your feet off. Yeah. And don't know what you had to do to get those shoes. Maybe you haven't had a new pair of shoes in 10 years. And they are stuck at looking at you mad because you got on some new shoes. And never saw you before. He doesn't even know you. But he just hates you because you got on a new pair of shoes. And that makes me feel like taking out a 45 Magnum and putting it to his tongue and blow his tongue out the back of his head. That's right. It makes me feel like he's just of no use at all to the world. No good at all for the world. And he might have on a coat better than yours. You know, his coat might look better than yours. But just because your shoes look good, a little bit better than his, he hates you and never saw you before. You know what brought on that? This attitude in society. They don't give a D. Don't give a about the other fellow. It's just you, man. Just you. That's the attitude that has brought about this ugliness we see in the society. I remember as a child, people were encouraged to show appreciation for each other. They were encouraged to greet each other. When I was a boy, people were encouraged to greet each other. How do you do? And if somebody said to me or to my mother, hello, and if I just went on playing, my mother would say, the lady said hello. And if I didn't say hello, my mother didn't say nothing else with her mouth. Pow! That's right. Yeah. We can't change the whole world because we don't have the instruments. They got the instruments. They got the media. They got all the instruments. So we can't change the whole world, but can't we change ourselves? We don't have to live like the world. The world is crazy. Crazy bunch of clones. Produced for the establishment. Now who gets, tell me, who else gets the benefit of our social estrangement and hostility? We're separated from each other socially, and we are hostile toward each other. Tell me, who gets the benefit? Who's getting the benefit? It ain't helping your race. It ain't helping the masses of people. So who is it benefiting? It's benefiting the materialistic, greedy people who run the establishment. That's who is benefiting. When I don't care anything about you, then all of us have to pay more for our life. Because we don't care about each other. I'm hurt more, I'm robbed more, I'm neglected more, so life is more expensive on me because we don't give a shit about each other. Is that right? Oh, look what he said. See, I told you God ain't guiding him. Shit! That's right. Yeah, we don't care about each other. So we are hurt more. We are neglected more. We lose more. And who's getting the benefit of that? The greedy materialistic establishment. I have to pay more in the court because of this attitude in society. I have to pay more at the grocery store because of this attitude in society. I have to pay more for medical bills because of this attitude in the society. And we can go on and on and on and on and show how everything that's burning us is because of this attitude in the society. And who's getting the money? The people who make the cars. The people who own the repair shops. The automobile repair shops. Right? The people who run the hospitals. The people who make the medical tools. Who's getting more than even them? The people who have the resources. Because even they pay. After a while, our own negligence, that is neglecting our responsibility and to be human toward each other, after a while, that even hurt the retail business, wholesale business, manufacturer. It hurts everybody but the one who owns the resources. When the hospital get in trouble, is the resource owner hurt? No! Say, what you need? We need some more tools. So what happened? Say, you know the man who manufactured them for us? Yes. Well, he's hurt too. Well, that's okay. Tell him I'll advance him. Send him some raw material. Let him take them into the manufacturing. Manufacture the tools. The resource owner is not hurt. So hurt gets less. Suffering are the effect of our own bad relationship with each other. It affects us in line of our upward progression in the establishment. The one who has the most is affected the least. And the one who has least is affected the most. So why should we destroy ourselves to enrich those on the top? That's all we're doing. Our bad attitude toward each other, our corrupt society is doing nothing but enriching those on the top. And you wonder how come they let things go like this. Because it's good for them. It ain't bad for nobody but you. It's good for them. Crime is good for them? Yes. crime is good for them. Bad for you, but good for them. What is crime? Half killing somebody that needs medical attention. That's business. Right? Stealing something that needs to be replaced. What is that? Business. Yes. Vandalizing something that has to be restored. What is that? Business. So you making business for the establishment at the expense of your good human life. Does that make sense? Doesn't make no sense for us. Makes sense for them, but not for us. Brothers and sisters, you have to know the nature of crime in a free society or in any society that allows it. You have to know the nature of crime and understand that people on the bottom pay the biggest price for their bad behavior. You see now why they don't want no righteous person reaching the masses? They don't want me on TV. If I go on, I have to follow their script. They have to know in advance what I'm going to say, what I'm going to talk about. And actually with me, they hardly ever allowed me on unless it was taped. So they could come behind me and take out what they don't want in. Yes. And form it as they want it to be formed. Then they present it. That's right. So what can we do, Brother Imam? We can get our own life in our own hands. Accept leadership for our own selves. Turn our back on the leadership of this world. I'm not talking about on the mayor. I'm not talking about turning your back on the governor, on the local man, or on the president of the United States. That's not the leadership of this world. The leadership of this world is in the trends. Back on the trends of this world. If that trend is to make people insensitive and selfish, turn your back on it. You know that's against the way of God. That's not the way of Allah, so turn your back on it. Turn your back to the trends of this world. Why do I say don't turn your back on people, individuals, in the government or in the establishment? Because all those individuals are not with this wicked culture. Many of them hate it. They don't like it. And they would applaud a change of mind on the grassroots level. Yes, they would. Many of them are right now. They are applauding World Community of Islam, American Muslim Mission. They are applauding that because they see that there's something happening that is human. See, a person that still is still in touch with his own humanity, it burdens him when he sees humanity disrespected in the society. He may be free from our situation, might be rich, powerful, but if he's still in touch with his humanity, it saddens him to see that the manipulative environment, cultural environment, is robbing us of our humanity. And when any of us rise up and say we dislike the way culture of America manipulates our intelligence, manipulate our senses, we dislike it, and we're going to stand up for ourselves and be our own leader, he congratulates you. Maybe he's not in a position to announce it publicly, but in his heart, he's just applauding with all his might that humanity has been affirmed for society. Yes. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a big thing we are talking about. Do you think I came to Oakland, left my wife and family and my house and everything there? We are well established there. You think I came all the way out here to just to preach you, sing a song, Whistle Dixie or something? If you do, you're crazier than I thought you were. I didn't come way out here for no foolishness. My job is bigger than your governor's job. Governor of California, his job is small beside my job. Yes. And he knows it. Yeah, he knows it. He would tell you. He's a man that's telling you the truth. The position that I take, his importance in this world is greater than that of the governor of the state. Oh, yes. Dear brothers and sisters, we've kind of gone over our time. But we will see you next time, inshallah. We're going to round it up now. Almost 3 o'clock.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for All Things Human. And as has been our shift in agenda, we always play a lecture of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, and we will continue to do so this morning. This will be an additional portion of what was begun last week from a series of ta'alim, Sunday ta'alim lectures that the Imam conducted in October 1981 in Oakland, California. Today we have a very special additional part of this morning's broadcast, and I've entitled it a special history lesson because there's a lot of history in the community that we're going to be talking about. And it is also in support of an upcoming fundraiser for the Al-Islam, the As-Salam Islamic Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to be joined, inshallah, by Sister Fonda Muhammad and Imam Oliver Muhammad of the As-Salam Islamic Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. Alhamdulillah, we're going to get into a lot of things. So, unlike the normal Wednesdays, we're going to continue with our discussion, interaction, and information for you about this upcoming fundraiser and other points of a very, special history that's taking place down there in North Carolina. So,
you mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
I'll bring you down now. You know that we got a job to do. I'm talking to you and you and you. Every man, a woman, boy and girl. We got the job to remake the world. So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
So get up,
you mighty
come on and get
play
up, come on. So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
So get up,
you mighty people, play your role.
To remake the world, we got to start with this land. Our country is sinking in the sand. The president is just one man. He can't solve everything, but united we can. Or you and people can lend a hand. An example of our great demand. Come on, be a great woman, be a strong man. Show the American how to be American. And get up,
you might be able to play
your role. Get up,
you might
come on and get up,
you might be able
to
play your role.
Get up,
you might be able to play your role.
Remake the world.
Now,
remake the land.
Now,
understood, you gotta
start with your neighborhood.
Let's keep them clean, because we should get the children involved, and then they would not grow to be tough, grow to be hood. If you want to do some good,
get up,
you might be good,
and get up,
you might be good,
get up,
you might be good, and play your role.
Yeah, now the most important part must be dealt to tend to your countries, dealt to add to your communities, well, to give your children some help. I got, you got, you got, you got, we got to listen to what I tell you, to put the world in the right state of health. We make the world by remaking yourself, and get up,
united people, and play your role.
Get up,
united,
come on,
get
up,
come on,
get up,
united people, and play your role.
I'm muted on Blog Talk. Alhamdulillah, let's do it again. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Sister Fonda, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Did I press one yet?
No. What's your number? Well, don't say it. Press one and then I'll know it. hello. It's not unusual to have these issues here. Oh, on your side, I need you. You have to call the 6 number that I just text.
Right.
Call that number.
And I called that. I just called. If I called again, and then what do I do?
When your number when it tells you you are now on Blog Talk, and then you push 1.
Okay. It said it's currently full.
Yeah, that does happen sometimes. Hold on, let's see. Try another number. Try this one. 319-527-6176.
Now press one. Okay.
Okay. Now the next task is for us to avoid feedback. I got you. Now you need to so now you're live. Let's go.
Can I get out of this? This song?
Take that out. And take mine out. Oh, you cut yourself off the phone. Okay, so don't hang the phone up. Once you get it, then that's it. So especially if you use ear pods, if you use AirPods or what, no problem if you don't. But usually sometimes at the distance you'll have a problem with the speaker. But let's deal with that when we get there. Just push 1. Okay, now push 1. And set it and forget it. Just let it go. All right. Now we're cooking. Okay. All right. You're good. Now make sure you turn me off on any speakers inside of your room, your space where you are. Mute.
Oh, like I just hit the mute, but you can't hear me now.
No, you just muted the screen. Forget about the screen. Don't do anything on the screen.
I know what you mean.
So that now you're muted on the phone. Take that speaker. So the iPhone speaker, take that out. Now take the mute off.
Okay. Got it.
All right. So let's see what happens now.
Okay.
So I am still getting feedback from your phone.
You want me to put the phone in another room?
I mean, in the side.
I don't know if that'll help. Let's see what happens.
Let's try. Okay.
Let me bring Oliver into this.
Okay.
This fun we're having right here. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. too early in the morning here. Hey, look, you also got to call in onto the blog talk, man. You got to call the other number. Fonda said she couldn't get in because it was full. So you have to call the alternative number, the 319-527-6176.
Okay, just call that number.
Yeah, but we still got speaker issues. The only way that I've known to cover it is any speaker that you have. Fonda, do you have earphones?
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound too confident about it.
I know you're
all stylish and all that, so it messes up the optics.
Honestly, I can't
get
it to work. That's the
reality. Okay. All right. Okay. You know what we?
Is it that
okay? I got you, Oliver. Push one. Push one.
Is now, it now, email?
I got you fine. Yeah. Now, Oliver, let me see what's going on with your Oliver. Do you have any other speaker coming through, making sound? Oh, the doctor's in the house. All right, I sound like. What's up, man? All right, Oliver. So, where's my sound coming to you, Oliver? Where are you getting it from?
Just speaker.
Okay, you got to take that speaker out because it gives feedback.
It does? Okay, all right, so I have to say.
Just that. Mute it. Or you just mute it.
So you say the speaker, you're not talking about the mic, that's the speaker, right? Okay, hold on.
You're a little ways away. Mashallah. I think that in order to move on with the time and also still get the benefit of it, Blog Talk. You all, let me recommend you Blog Talk folks. Go ahead and go to Fahim Shoaib Facebook. Go to my Facebook page. Most of you have Facebook. Go to Facebook or also go to YouTube. Go to Fahim Shoaib YouTube. Fahim Shoaib Facebook. I think for the sake of time, that's the only way we're going to overcome these sound problems right now. So go over to Facebook, and put in my name. It should be broadcasting live now. And also go to YouTube, Fahim Shoaib, and it should be broadcasting live now. So we're going to go ahead and hang up here and do it all on Facebook, YouTube, StreamYard. Not a problem. That's what it is. So Blog Talk, we're gonna take you out. So Fonda, take it for I'll just mute you there. And we're all live here. Now what I need to go ahead and talk to me, Fonda, Oliver, either one of you. Unmute. Oliver, talk to me. Can't hear me? Neither of you can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Oliver, can you hear me? Okay, Oliver, get your sound up. Oliver. I don't know how to... No, he can't hear me here. Okay, Oliver, what you got? Oliver, I guess I gotta do it this way. MashaAllah. Let's see.
Can you hear me by phone?
I don't I don't need your phone. You still be able, whoever's on there. We're still. We didn't kill the Blog Talk, but that's not what we're depending on for the sound. Blog can still hear. So, what you got, Oliver? All right, I hear you. Do you find it? Do you hear him?
I hear him, yes.
All right, good. So, yeah, so don't touch nothing. So we'll go like this. Alhamdulillah. I mean, as all, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You know, there's all kind of lessons in this, and this is the reality where, you know, quote unquote, this technology, right? You got this technology, and you know, you match this piece with that piece. You know, no doubt it could be my own setup. You know, just like requiring more from the guests because I'm not in the habit of actually having guests. But I'm gonna tighten that up. It's all good. You know, we're at least I'm the baby boomer. I don't know, Fonda, you might not be a baby boomer. You a baby boomer? Right on the cusp. You're right on the cusp, right? Oh, takbir. That's good. You handling it well. All right. All right. What are we here for? Alhamdulillah. I'm really, 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 really happy. I'm happy to see all of you. Just it's been so long. I mean, between COVID and just life itself. You know, we haven't seen each other for quite a while. We have a lot to cover. A part of what I really appreciate about this, you know, just as an opportunity, it's an excuse to do something that needs to be done all over this country, and that is there's a lot that people don't know about. Well, Oakland, and I'm not going to be talking about Oakland right now. There's some things people do know. But I think also, speaking from the West Coast, that, you know, there are a lot of people that don't really know about Al-Islam in North Carolina. I say in California. You know, you got the Atlanta piece. You know, Atlanta kind of like, you know, sucks up a lot of the southern oxygen when it comes to Al-Islam, you know. And my brother, the doctor, who is back there, we met in Mount Vernon. Was Mount Vernon, is that where you were? Yeah, alhamdulillah, yeah. Who's, is it Waleed that's there now? No. Abdul Waleed, right? Yeah, inna lillahi inna ilayhi rajiun. But the young man is in Mount Vernon right now, and that's the problem. It's been so long. Musa, he's in Mount Vernon now. Yeah, and just so much history. So that's a lot of what I want to cover today. But why don't we go ahead and start out with you guys giving us an update. Fonda, I know that you are a co-chair of the fundraising activity for raising funds for the As-Salam Islamic Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. And the funds are to build a masjid. What are we doing? Tell us a little more details about it.
Trying to build a message from the ground up in Southeast Raleigh. And over the weekend of September 16th, 17th, 18th, came out and talked more about the whole project in its course. It's a probably going to cost a little bit of doubt. More than halfway there, but it's so simple to build that we is trying to raise money, trying to connect with our beliefs with other believers across the country. And I always, it's always twofold. Raise money, bam, but it's also to protect and stuff purified and just the love and stuff.
Okay. Amen. Tell us about the project itself.
Site has been approved. It has definitely been approved. site, and we just at the corner filling in some of the position for the type of things that's going to be put on that site. So that's where we are. We're working. When you have a building or construction project, there's always setbacks, there's always issues that come up that's unexpected. That sometimes these things that change some of the people involved in that project because they're not fulfilling their part of the deal. And so, you know, you're having all of these kinds of challenges, but Allah, He's the best planner. You may have a plan, but Allah has also a plan, and particularly that we are addressing these issues as and so we look forward to that day when we put the shovel in the ground and say, welcome everybody. It's wonderful that Allah has put us on. The building itself is going to be, initially we start out with a building that's about 9,500 square feet at the kind of space. So we got it back down to about 6,500 square feet. As I said, we are addressing some issues in the plan, and we have a building committee. We have several brothers on our building committee for contractors and engineers themselves. And I got a wonderful call this morning that they have untied a knot that's going to make this project move forward, and I'll be thankful for comments to the community about. So we might get back on schedule. We may be a little behind, but the things are continually moving forward, and we've learned so much. You know, a lot of plans, best plans, but sometimes people hold things back for a while so that you can really be prepared for the bigger thing. And so we've gained knowledge, we've gained experience, and not only that, but we have grown as a community of community builders.
That
other issues, other institutions and structures that have to complete that whole community. And matches, they build matches every day.
Mm-hmm.
But communities are not being built every day. Because we've learned so much. Seen so much richness come. Like you're looking at Sister Fonda and her husband. Along this path to this point, we picked them up. Take them to come and join us.
Mm-hmm.
They brought so much energy, so much Northern
yeah. A northeastern storm come through, right? Yeah. That's right. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Oh, alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's home. That's another home.
Any of our fundraising for a part.
Yes. I got it. And it's Allahu Akbar.
But we walked in and we were
because
the contractor when we put up the money for it died, this Italian contractor shipped down. So we started as a symbol, not only of an unfinished structure, but unfinished community. And if you look around America, and especially as you mentioned earlier, many of us, many of our communities are still unfinished. Unfinished in the sense of we have to, and that means you have to build capacity, you have to build up capital, you have to develop leaders in order to really fulfill that great thing. It's not just a masjid, but it's a whole community.
Alhamdulillah. So we're going to go.
go more and more into that. That's exactly what we want to do. And, you know, follow up on more of that. I want to ask Fonda to give us some program details. Give us some program details for the fundraiser. And then we're also going to continue this journey down, informing people about the history, because I want to hear, be reminded about the New York piece, the Northeaster aspect of it. But go ahead, and even you all's journey, how y'all get from there to there, and all that. Why? But let's take any piece of that you want to take, but cap it with the program activities. Yeah, and you got that energy too, for sure. Alhamdulillah. Just read it off. Just read it off. Okay. What I'll do, I'll go ahead and I'll type what you have here in the chat. But if there's another way that you can send it to me, either by text or email, I'll send it out another way. But for right now, actually right now, those people who are online, and you have that savvy, so you see the QR code there in the picture. You can just take your camera, put your camera right up there, and if you know how to use it, then you know how to use it. If you don't know how to use it, then it doesn't matter. If you know how to use it, take your QR app on your phone, just take a snap of that QR code there, and you can make your donations. Make your donations now. I'm interested in, and we have to stay with the analog way of doing it. If I wanted to make a contribution right now to this project, what number, what address, what means do I use in order to do that?
Well, if you wanted to make one right this second, to make it, we have the Islam Islamic System does have a PayPal account.
Uh-huh. That link is actually what's in there. The Eventbrite link is actually there. If you go to Facebook and YouTube, right now you should be able to see it to the extent that you can see the YouTube and Facebook, and you can make your donations through there. I want to go also a little more into the historical dimension. Brother Oliver, I know you got. Tell me the family Muhammad Ali story, brother. your family with Sister Margaret, and we have to say something about Sister Margaret and Sheikh Kenneth. Let's cover that part.
From the great city of Baltimore, and there's also pictures of Mount Kennett at Morgan State. Malcolm, he was kind of carrying Malcolm around on Morgan State. There's a picture of him standing beside Malcolm. And he comes down here, and he, the seeds of Islam were planted, and he came as one of the planters. I call him the masjid planter, because not only did he plant a masjid in Durham, but he was instrumental in getting sites or temples at that time practically in half of the state of North Carolina. Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Kinston, Fairfield, Wilmington, Durham and Raleigh is where he opened work. And he was staying in Raleigh, but he was going to a Durham a weekly to that community. The reason is because during those times in the 60s, Durham was a very conscious city. It had what's called the Black Wall Street, and with the people in Raleigh, because this is the capital of the state, they weren't as open to message that he was bringing, but the African-American community in Durham was very awake. There was a movie that was made in Durham, and he mentioned he's mentioned in that book. He mentioned the part that he and him made it in South Durham, and that took the right trouble in Durham. And in that book, they didn't mention it in the movie, but they talk about the Muslims.
I just want to add, that is a great movie for people to get, that with Taraji P. Henson, and really, really touching movie. Go ahead, Imam. Mm-hmm.
That was a popular name. They met, and the community was in an uproar about it. They had to make some decisions about the school system, about integration and all those things, and Anne was a very outspoken person for the black people in Durham. And so the Klansmen didn't want this meeting to take place. And so the meeting had to take place because the priest had made a decision. So in the book, the Klansmen were about to march on the meeting. And in the book it mentioned, but they couldn't make it downtown because the Nation of Islam was blocking their entrance. And they described them as being dressed in towns, the white shirts, the black pants. And so the only one that could have organized the Nation of Islam at that time was Kenneth Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Very outspoken and during that season, that was very important for them. During that time, the community didn't want to go along with the meeting because Kenneth had a big meeting. And he said this was just the other highlight for Kenneth was when Malcolm came to Durham, all of the major universities didn't want him to come. So he went to all of the Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh. None of them wanted Malcolm. And so he at the end of having a meeting at the temple that was over the top of Cab Stand. It was a little small auditorium. It probably seated about 150 people. Malcolm spoke there, and that's in the history book. And most of the people that came with were students and Duke, Caucasian students. They heard that Malcolm. So what Kenneth did in this area was he really planted the seed for many communities. He was a pusher. He was a hard worker, and he brought together people. Durham and Raleigh and Bedford. Durham was like the hub of all of the state. Out of that time, from the 60s to the 70s, first to the second grade, just within the 70s. So he moved about, he remodeled, he moved from the cab stand on Chapel Hill Street, where we bought property there. That's when the community really began to bloom. And I always picture this as a flower, you know, a rose. Start off with a seed, and it has the thorns. And, went through the thorny times, and then we have a bloom. So he was able to build a real vibrant community. And then it moved to Raleigh.
Let me stop you there and jump on that and segue to the rose, since you used the rose. Well, then we got to talk about rose then, because behind every great man is a great woman. So give us a little bit about that, and then we're gonna come to Fonda and get a little bit of history from her, all right?
Right. Behind every great man has a beautiful love there with his body.
Yeah.
So with Sister Margaret, she was like a paramount. Yeah. She was an educator, she had her own little private school. She's a very outspoken woman, a strong woman. Very vibrant people at that time. She and Smith Fair. Muhammad Ali comes in the 60s, right after Ali had lost his crown. And he knew tennis. And so he wanted to come down when he wasn't fighting. And he wanted to spend some time. He spent a whole week living in that house. And he get up in the morning and jog around the city, around town. And there's this picture that I laugh about. There's a picture of Rhonda serving Ali something. I don't know what it is. Rest of her, and she's smiling at him. And I tell people all the time, I think he was the greatest of all time. But he's smiling at her. But who got her? I got her. I'm the greatest of all time. that's the story about that. And so, but in Raleigh, he had some wonderful brothers over here, Wallace, that were very helpful. But one of his top college students was Imam Saifa Dean. As a matter of fact, Master was named after him. He was a college student. He was a mentor of mine as well. I was on the street in Wallace. And the Imam, a minister, Saifa Dean was here. And so that was in the early 70s. And I think I'm a number of other brothers in Raleigh who came Imam, particularly the one who's still around today. That's Imam Kamal Abdel, a very vibrant person and did a great work with the community, him, and he promised that he would come back every Father's Day. Even the year here that Father's Day was supposed to come back next year, and so we decided that we're going to have that day in memory, and we're going to call it Adam.
Lord.
That's when he talked about Father Adam.
Lord, so
we want to take that and institutionalize it into this day out of here.
Let's get Fonda into this conversation. Fonda, you have a history, and you are the great woman in our metaphor here behind Imam Dr. Salahuddin. So give us a little bit of you all's New York history and movements for as far as Al-Islam is concerned. Yeah. I got you. It sounds good. Yeah, you don't want me to open up my Rasha now on Khalifa and all the rest of that now. So I'm going to let you have that, but keep pushing.
I love to see guys like
all right.
Started out kind of like nomads. We still have a building, so we're kind of visiting his home at just in my house. It was a warehouse. It was just a warehouse, and I couldn't visit. I was like, yeah, okay. So like a good soldier, I just heard and I was there, and I said, okay, they have the vision. I could run down and have a blast in it. It's really terrible. Totally dilapidated. But alhamdulillah, we had some good people among us, and they built it up. They didn't look so fruitful. 5 years in, we were able to get some kind of creative funding, so we didn't have to worry about anybody like that. And that started building from the ground up in terms of a section next to that already. And it's always going by faith. I have to say, by faith, and it's not a put down to our style of leadership, but we're going by faith. Not a lot of knowledge, like building knowledge or just knowledge that's right there. You know, some people just try to build a building and bam, they can just do it. How the world, they have that knowledge, they can do it. The engineer in New York, they knew how to do it. We just kind of went by faith. So Allah had our back, we tied our camel and trusted in Allah and built around. We were in New York for 30 years. Lousing was Imam there for 30 years. I was right beside him. It was time to time I was behind him. And when I was behind him, I was pushing him. I was pushing him. When I was beside him, I was like holding him, holding him. So whatever. We were together 30 years. And really, a lot of mercy was telling me, really, we, along with many, many believers, we built unity and connection. It was so powerful how we were connected. City of Hoover, the political community at large, came by outside, had our back, even during some continuously trying times, and we've all heard about, I'm sure your listeners have heard about the Hoover thing, where the lousing was accused of being the E-man, supported a lot of stuff. Well, the community in Hoover, interfaith community, the politicians, and the Muslims, of course, they had respect, and so all that stuff was fun, and none of the accusations stuff. And then, so that was that, and then right now I'm about 2010, and I'm starting to be able to get a doctorate, and 2013, say goodbye to the community, back and say goodbye to the community, retired from our job. Myself, New York State Education Department, teacher for 27 years, just by make 30 years. I had to age in South Carolina. Even Oliver and his wife took us out to dinner.
good. That's good. So, you know, there's something that that comes to mind in listening to both of your stories, and our stories are the same. But going back to the analogy of the rose, which absolutely fits us, when I look at the lineup, when I look at the lineup, go back, look at that history where we have, you know, Sheikh Kenneth Rahimullah, you know, of course, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, Alhaj Malik Shabazz / Malcolm X, and, of course, Elijah Muhammad and Imam Wahdi Muhammad. And then we look at this lineup that's here. You know, you have Anissa, you have Imam Rashad, Abdul Rahman, and the other young lady, I don't know her name, but there's stars all over the world. and another reason, the screen's so small I can't read the name. Anyway, her name is not right there for me to get. What is her name again? Oh, Kiana. Okay, well, I'm not going to forget that because my niece's name is Kiana, so I got you. So if I don't remember anything else, it's Sister Kiana. All right? I mean, and she must be raw. She must be good. She must be able to do whatever it is that she do because she's up there in Stephen A. Smith's language. These other folks up there, they ain't no scrubs, right? They ain't no scrubs at all, right? So you got Preacher Moss. He's creeping in to pretend he's young like the youngsters. Yeah, it's all good. I shout out to Preacher Moss, the Muslim comedian, alhamdulillah. And then Native Dean. In fact, Imam Wahid had me as a guest at one of the Duke Ramadan sessions. And I see one of the he's Dr. Salam now, right? One of the artists, founding artists, no doubt, of Native Dean and that richness. So my point here is that we do see the evolution and the graduation and the progression of the very special, unique autonomy that we have and that we are in this whole history, right? And when you think about the struggles, right, the struggles of a Kenneth Muhammad, what was his ex? I know it wasn't Muhammad coming in.
No,
he
was just
ex. Yeah, it was just Kenneth. Okay, so that makes him number one because the numbers go on the basis of who had that name before. So there's Kenneth X in the South with black Muslimism, if you will, in the 50s. Come on now. It's like that ain't no joke right there, right? And then you have those like myself who come through, because even in during, quote-unquote, Malcolm's time in the later years of the Nation of Islam, we have a brother here who's in the wheelchair, Khalid Wajid, who was shot by the police, and then another one in L.A. when the police storm there, another brother was killed, and another brother was, quote-unquote, put in a wheelchair in consequence of that kind of activity. And I'm saying when you think about the 50s, you know, the 60s in terms of the civil rights struggle and the dichotomy of, quote-unquote, black Muslims and the so-called nonviolent, and that was the game in the name. But the idea is that I have to admit, and I believe we all have to admit, that we didn't have to face the level, the magnitude, the order of struggle of the generation whose shoulders I'm talking about Fahim Shoaib, Imam Oliver, and Fonda, Dr. Salahuddin, we stand on the shoulders of those who put in that kind of work when, you know what I'm saying, it's like when stuff was raw, you know, much more raw than it is now. And we have to admit, and I pray that the young people coming up behind us now, the ones who are on stage literally and figuratively right now and with this upcoming program, I believe, and I know they do,
as Imam in the broadcast we played talks about gratitude. If you don't show gratitude to people, then it's a sign that you have no faith. And so I know these young people that you have on the program are people of gratitude and of faith. And I know they have gratitude for that generation that came before them, as we have gratitude for the generation that came before us. The very theme is honoring our past and planning today for our future. It's like this is really, really going on. And these folks, many people have not heard these young people. I'm speaking from the speaking perspective. Anissa and Rashad Abdulrahman, I haven't had the honor of hearing Kiana. I don't know if her focus is, what is her focus? Is her focus the knowledge, the information, or is she a cultural artist of some type? Give me some feedback on
healing us from the trauma that many of us, most of us, have gone through. Yes, I went to one of her workshops, amazing. And she has uncover some of the hurt that gone through over the years, and even go back into history and tap in some of the hurt that we brought in from the ancestors.
Yeah, that's very important. In fact, it reminds me of Oliver. One of the last times I was there, it had to be the male female, the marriage relationship. And actually, we got a marriage vis-a-vis the Merriam conference from the time we had there. A marriage actually came out of that. And your and Dr. Rhonda's presentation included that concept of the Overton window. Right. The Overton window. That stayed with me from the time. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about that Overton window when the Mr. Trump became the president, and he really did move that Overton window. Hit us with just a couple of bars of that so that people can just appreciate the idea. You don't have to elaborate on the whole concept, but it's a very important idea. Go ahead.
It's about our, you know, when couples come together, they really have to know it's not past, but it's old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sometimes a key of a half.
Mm-hmm. Our children, I mean, outside of any other institutional contributions that they make, but the progress that they are making, that they have made, that really, really speaks to the power of this evolution. Because I know that Salahuddin, I know I'm all up in the family, and Fonda, I want you to bring your piece as we go too, and I'll be introduced more to your family as well. But Rakaya is married to Idris, who is the imam of the Philadelphia Masjid. They were originally a part. He's out of the family of the founders of the Masjid in Freehaven, I understand. But now he's the imam in Philadelphia, Abdul Zahir. That is Idris Abdul Zahir. And then of course your son, Salahuddin, the imam, the scholar, the student, the author of America's Imam, who is also married to a first generation, first resurrection offspring, I'll put it that way, out of Kansas City, Sister Letha. Okay, so that's, and I know I'm missing your other daughter, I'm sorry. It's like, you know, I don't want to be contributing to family stuff. But I know she's there. I recognize her. I acknowledge her. Some people seem to be on a platform a little more. But let me get out of that and just hit me with a little bit about your family and leave a moment for our sister Fonda to bring that, and we will go further with that.
You know, ma'am, thank you for that opportunity. I think a lot every day. I don't see our family being special in any kind of way other than that we love Allah, love them. And that's a constant conversation. They are everyone, and I can say to all of my the love and mom as their way of life, as their business, their chosen faith.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell them, and my wife, you know, in this society, there's so much pressure put on youngsters because they're living in two different worlds. This is why we have burning desire to really establish a community. Because Imam Muhammad, Ibrahim Allah, said that our children need structured support.
Mm-hmm.
The institution that support family, that support the individual, that help develop individuals. And that's been our driving piece when we lived in Durham, that was parents were very involved in the masjid. We have families like that today, but we were very focused on programs for the children. And because we were able to galvanize our young people, our children, with other Muslim children, in program, and I look at all those children that grew up with them, they all are doing well. I mean, some of them have become millionaires. It's amazing, you know, and I always say that you are an average of the five people. I tell my children, you are an average of the five people that you associate. And that's what we work on. We do a good job of teaching that strength. So that has been amazing.
I'm delighted.
Who they have associated.
And that's why we have an obligation to keep that going. That's what works. That's not like that can't be, well, you can try that if you like. No, it's imperative that we do that. Fonda, what, tell us about your family successes.
Lost our son, he turned to Allah this past December 2021. But I have to say that the beauty is, I have a couple of my children on the line, Akila Carter, Akila Gates, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, just have so many children. We have raised so many children. I think that, give me a sleep, I think that too, meaning when we were in our 30s, and programs like Imam Oliver mentioned, just the focus is always on the community and how we can help them grow. And I'll be honest, a lot of those deaths, there was no book we went through. I didn't necessarily have the best role model in terms of growing up. So I'm telling you, life tells us to be here and to push, to have faith in him, and alhamdulillah, the community is one successful. Our children are continuing on their journey of success. We just pray that, you know, young people in general can really just taste, they need to taste this thing for this
Yeah.
And I just want to end this portion of family by saying, we've been raising our, the son who passed and turned to a box. We had to raise in Yasmin to keep the spring. Yasmin is now 10. And I'm telling you, straight up, no chasing. Generation is so different. You know,
yeah.
I could look at my first group that I was raising.
Yeah.
And they're 44, close to their 40s now. I could give them a look. That's all it took.
Yeah.
I try to give them a look.
In reality, so we're in our last 2 minutes now. I want to post up the image of the fundraising activity that's coming up and that we're here for this morning, honoring our past and planning today for our future. A project from the Asalaam Islamic Center in Raleigh, North Carolina, and the project team is again to establish a masjid. I believe that that's the right language for it. Alhamdulillah. And I feel the urge to just mention no detail, but because Dr. Salahuddin, we do have that background. He also has a very special personal story that more and more, we're going to have to do it again another time when we just get into the continuing issue of the history of our community, because many people, you just don't know who we are and what we have and where we've come from. That same younger generation where the 60s is ancient history to them. It's not just history, it's ancient history. And we have to make sure that that is not lost on them, because they lose a lot of who they are when they're unable to have that. We're going to take a 60-second last word from each one of you, and then we're going to go ahead and sign off. Let's do it all. We'll all be online together. Go ahead, Imam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, Imam, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to come on your show. Thank all those who just called each other. I think that the person that's behind this says you have a special call. It become a partner to him. So it's an investment in the future of the life of America. You know, the contribution that Islam and some accessible wants to make and has a vision to make to enhance the life of the citizens of this country, the state, the city, and the world. We want, our goal is to fight. We need a base of operations. We need a place where we can come, where we can have classes, where we can come together as a community, have community meetings, and have services and programs that will help us reach that goal. So we want you to become a partner in this process, and you can become a partner immediately in going to the Eventbrite link and clicking on that link and buy your ticket and buy a whole thing. So that's what we want to say. Again, thank you so much.
And also, alhamdulillah, and also Athila, who I know now, she has some skin in this game right here. she outed you. Your mom outed you. There's also a wonderful opportunity for businesses to advertise in the Souvenir Journal. There will be a print copy and e-journal that will be available.
So those of you who are listening on Facebook or YouTube, you have the link. You have the Eventbrite link that is there. And also you can check in with the Asylum Islamic Center, Raleigh, North Carolina. Just go there. You'll find that, and this will be a way by which you can, if you're unable to be there, you can be there in spirit and in financial support through the Souvenir Journal and the like. That's a wonderful thing to do. So we have here, this is Asila's other mother. Love the history. So you can't have all that by yourself. It's like, no, this is the other mother. We often that we say the brother from another mother. So we have to work out one for the women now. See, the brother from another mother, that has poetry in it. So now we got the sister from another mother. We have to work that out. We got to do something.
Sister from another sister.
Ah, there you go. See, I never heard that one. See, that's that New York stuff. Y'all don't know about that. Go ahead. So, last words from you, my sister. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, we thank you. I want to make sure we mention my dear brother and also the co-chair of the committee, Abdul Wahid Hafiz, alhamdulillah, my brother from the Bronx. When we first met, and we've had a beloved connection ever since. That's really... It's rare, and it's a blessing, right? Alhamdulillah. And he continues to work, continues to make a contribution. He's formerly in Durham, right? So when I think about Durham, Raleigh, Durham, and the way you described it, Ma'am Oliver, I think about Mecca and Medina. Mecca and Medina. It sounds like Durham was more like Medina, and Raleigh was more like Mecca, inshallah. So inshallah, maybe in some way we'll make Raleigh a Mecca of North Carolina, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much, and we appreciate it. May Allah continue to bless us and guide us to the best, and may Allah bless your effort with great success. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. All right. We out.